Hello everyone, this is Kelly Beard of KarmicTools.com, and tonight is our monthly community event for the month of January, and we are getting together for part two of Mercury Retrograde through Earth and Fire Signs for 2024. So right now I want to give everyone another minute or so to get settled. I'm going to do some breath work and unify and anchor the circle and dive in. Right now, I'd like to invite our benevolent angels, loving ancestors and Orisha, personal animal guides and helping spirits to be with us tonight. We each have a powerful invisible team of support, and it's even more potent when we bring them together like this. So, making that connection above, below, and at the heart, deep breath in. And hold and release. I want you to start at your heart chakra as we honor the direction of east and initiation point and where we access the inner wisdom of the mind and we activate the element of air. Here I want you to picture a beautiful emerald green crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly. I want you to breathe as if you're breathing through and from your heart. Make that connection to your own joy and self-love. Deep breath in. And hold and release. Come on down to your power center, where we honor the direction of south, a culmination point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the spirit and activate the element of fire. Here, I want you to picture your favorite shade of golden yellow crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly. Make that connection to your own I Am presence and take a deep cleansing breath in right at your own power center. Deep breath in. And hold and release. Come on down to the creative center where we honor the direction of west, a completion point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the soul and activate the element of water. Here, I want you to picture your favorite shade of orange crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly. I want you to connect to your own energetic flow and creative flow, emotional flow. Take a deep cleansing breath in right there. And hold and release. On down to the root chakra, where we honor the direction of north, a conception point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the body and activate the element of earth. We be here now. Here, I want you to picture your favorite shade of red, ruby red crystal, infused with light from within and spinning brightly, feeling yourself plugged in above and below and at the heart. At your root chakra, you're receiving nutrient from the core of the earth for this incarnation, making that connection to here and now. Deep breath in. And hold and release. All right. Welcome, welcome, everyone. This is part two for our Mercury retrograde for the year of 2024. Mercury goes backwards 3 to 4 times a year, every year. So I always say we get 3 to 4 chances to do a conscious data dump, to give your mental body a break and recalibrate and clean those filters so that you're perceiving things correctly for you, the individual. It's also a time when we can complete projects and correct mistakes and fix broken things. There's lots of good things about a Mercury retrograde. Everybody pretty much knows that technology and mechanical things go haywire. But personally, over the years, I've discovered that that just makes me turn inward. And I find so much more value in communicating with the invisible team than pushing the river and trying to make things work in the world. What I will say, because of course we can't stop the world for the planet, but if you still have to get out there and work in the world in various ways under the influence of a Mercury retrograde, then the idea is just to check, recheck, double check, triple check your details, communications, make sure that people are receiving what you're sending, and things like that. You just sort of have to follow up a little more consciously and vigilantly to ensure that things go well under that influence. But if you can pull back, and if you can schedule light, and if you can turn inward, then Mercury retrogrades become a wealth of information for your processes. Mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical processing is something our human beings need to do. And we need to do it on a regular basis. So 3 to 4 times a year is not too much to ask to press pause on the input, which is a big deal these days. Didn't used to be, but it's a big deal now that we pause for the cause 3 to 4 times a year and really process that quarter, because it's usually about a 3-month process with Mercury. The issues that come into the light at this time are all your thought patterns and different creative cycles I've learned to track with Mercury. Track your creative babies, your individual ideas, thoughts, and concepts and perceptions, how you, like I said, how you perceive through your own filters, and how good are those filters. Over the years, we've talked about the example of a dryer filter, the way we wash our clothes and throw them in the dryer. If you pull the lint off every time you run a load, yeah, you've cleaned the filter. But over a month or 2 or 6 months or however long it takes, there becomes a little waxy buildup on that filter. And then you need some soap and water to get it to work correctly. And we have to do that for our own mental, emotional processing especially. And, of course, you know, we're big on embodiment around here. So the body work has to be part of your process, too. And last year, when Mercury went backwards through all Earth signs, we got real present to the mind-body connection and how connected they are. And if one's imbalanced, they're both imbalanced. So we rewired that, hopefully, so that this year, as it connects with fire energy, we can be inspired and transform and transcend and transmute whatever we were doing before, whatever consciousness we had before, whatever thinking and ideas we were moving through before. There's an evolution that's going to come in the year of 24 that we want to consciously co-create with. Learning and communication, expressing yourself is all Mercury's domain. So anytime it's retrograde, we want to rethink those things and look at how you're perceiving reality around you, how you think and process information. You know what I've learned over the years? I'm a linguist. I'm a language person. I love words. You can say a word and change my consciousness in an instant. But so many people in the world are visual learners that I've had to start playing around with videos and pictures and images to teach with just to accommodate my visual learners. And not that I'm complaining, because it's a wonderful, fun, creative act for me, but it's not necessarily the way I learn. So it's not always the first thing I think of. And with Mercury, we're definitely going to rethink our language and how we put things into words, how we write, speak, express on any level. So how's that going? Let's take a pause for the cause. Like we said, 3 to 4 times. So we're coming out of, as of February 5th, now we're talking on January 18th, so we got another 2 or 3 weeks there, and then we'll be out of this first one of the year, which went backwards and forwards through Sag and Capricorn. And then March 9th to May 15th will be the retrograde zone when Mercury will linger in Aries. And what happened on part one when we talked about these things is those two literally had 6 or more, the March to May one had more, by the way, activations, bullet points over here in my notes, what have you. Our two that we're going to cover tonight, the Leo Virgo, which is going to be July 2nd through September 26th of 24, and the final one of the year that will carry us into 25 will be Sag, all fire, November 2nd to January 28th of 2025. We're going to talk about those two. Those two each only have 2 activations each. So we will not be as long as we were on part one to cover these, but I did do something fun with the divination. So we are going to still go into how we can maximize those final 2 of the year. And then as the year unfolds, I'll be reminding you to circle back to these audios. They'll be on the podcast and YouTube channels for easy access when you're ready. We want to think about each Mercury retrograde as bringing up divine delays and what I call revealing reversals. A lot of times we change our thinking altogether because we get a different perspective. We get to see things through a different lens when Mercury slows down and leans on some area of our chart. And in that case, you want to know where those are. And I did get the personal activations note all ready to go. So we want to look at these pivot points throughout the year as turning points to move in a new direction, to pause, to review, and go back over certain things and look for the hidden potential or the blind spot. What's going to trip you up if you're not paying attention, if you're not processing what's going on inside or around you? What happens then? You know, wherever it does land, and let's stick to tonight's agenda, Leo, Virgo, and Sagittarius, those houses are particularly affected by what we're going to discuss tonight. And so that's where the adjustments, the tweaking, the fixing, like I said, the review, go back over. There's something you missed and something that needs to be integrated in order to become embodied wisdom. Otherwise, we're all just a bunch of information junkies, gather, 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 and we don't do anything with it. That's not really what we're going for in this circle. We want to use the energies and the cycles to track our own patterns so that we can always be improving. Each time these cycles repeat, we have new support in the sky. We have a new sky council. We are in new positions with new people around us, with new support around us. So each time a cycle repeats, we can tap in a different way. We can activate a different aspect of things. We can evolve in a good way. So I like that. So don't be afraid to change your mind. That's what Mercury retrogrades are for. The way that I've done it with people is I'll tell people straight up, yes, I used to think that, but I don't think that anymore. I have new experience. I have new education. I have new information. And now I'm forming a new opinion. And now I have a new opinion to go with it all. So don't be afraid to change your mind, but let folks know. We don't believe in crazy or gaslighting folks either. Don't act like you didn't change your mind when you really did. We don't want to do that. Talking less, listening more, chat less, say more is always what we do on a retrograde. Again, you want to be in receiving mode. Receiving works better than sending during a Mercury retrograde. So we want to remember that as we navigate our day-to-day when it comes down to the actual time. So you also want to rethink, what are you a voice for, or what do you want to be a voice for? So let's think about that for the year. If the retrogrades are going to happen over earth and fire, then what are your containers looking like? And how solid are your structures and boundaries that you can expand with fire? Fire expands. Fire transmutes. Fire changes things and brings in new forms. And we really are going for a kind of phoenix from the ashes vibe right now after what we've been through over the last couple of years. So we want to do this as consciously as possible. And we want to play with those modes of expression, the creativity. Like I said, it really unlocked something for me to try to teach with visuals, right? It taught me some things as well. So when you play with mediums that you don't have to be the expert, like I'm not a painter, but I'm really feeling the urge to paint. And I don't know if that's my grandfather who was a big time painter or what, but spirit has been saying, get a brush and a little baby set of paints and get to playing over here just for fun, no attachment to outcome. So some of that is useful when we're playing with Mercury as well, because again, it's how you think and perceive things. And when you start playing in mediums that you're not well versed in or proficient in, it unlocks something in your brain to learn something new. It unlocks new neural pathways so that you can get some new juice going. And we like that. We want to play with those elements throughout the year. How creative can you be? And what kind of containers are you building for your creative ideas? How did that go? Last year, because it was all earth, we were really having to get practical and think about what we wanted to commit to. By this year, we should know what we want to commit to and how we want to really flesh it out and make it express your true, unique, authentic self, your true vibe, right? So let's think about that. I want to cover a couple of things. One thing is the last time, let's look at these Mercury retrograde through the elements cycles, because what's going to happen that's really deep, and again, remember the Kellyism, everything's a response to the last thing and preparation for the next thing. So this earth fire is in response to an all earth year. Right. So if we did get serious and responsible and pared down certain things and concepts and simplified our creative ideas and the way we want to express things in the world, if all that really went down, then this year, again, that infusion of fire is going to be so useful. But we're not going to get even a little bit of a segue. It's going to go straight from earth and fire to fire and water, which is more combustible. So 2025 promises to bring all new consciousness along with these social and collective cycles that are also resetting in 2025. You know, we are very much at the ending new beginning of some big social collective cycles. So these little micro, the personal planets, when we look at these little details, it's important for you to do your own processing and kind of know where you're at least. Because there's no controlling the social collective, and every generation has to face some kind of crisis or challenge or upheaval because this is just the human condition. So I'm always trying to get you to dial it back in to on the ground what you're really going through, because you never want to take your mind or your body through trauma that you're not actually going through, just worrying and stressing over what might happen or what's already happened and is in the past, right? We're always thinking about that. We don't want to be too far in the past or too far in the future. It causes trauma, and we don't want to do that. So think about what you want to ground this year with this good fire earth combo, because this allows us to create something solid and long-lasting and beautiful and reflective of your truth, reflective of your new consciousness, reflective of your new thinking, and how these different ways that you've been changed in your education over the last couple of years, and would like to express that in a new way. Now, let's see. I want to look at, the first one we're going to look at is the Leo Virgo, happening July 2nd through September 26th of 2024, and that's when it'll move on. So all of July, all of August, and pretty much all of September, Mercury is going to be lingering here. Now, remember I said it only has two activations, but they're very special and very important. I did the divinations according to these activations, so we're going to get real deep after we lay a few things on the table first. First of all, Leo Virgo, let's look at Mercury and Leo ideas and thinking. Leo is all about mental passion and creative intellect. When Mercury is there, that's what's cooking, okay? When Mercury moves through Leo, the ideas are creative, original, ambitious, animated, and loving. Leo thoughts are noble, romantic, courageous, joyful, and innocent. Leo concepts are passionate, fun, audacious, influential, and artistic. So here, because Sun rules Leo, we want to put Mercury and Sun together to activate your inner lover. Get heart-centered and reconnect. This is reconnecting with your own light, source, energy, however you want to look at that. Your own brilliance, your own unique genius, your unique essence that expresses only through you and the unique alchemical mix that you are. Mercury as filter or process. What ideas need a dose of your authenticity to bring to life or bring to the next level? And where's the fun? Leo's all about the fun and the love. So we definitely want to do some review in that department. How do we think and perceive of fun and joy and laughter and games and being childlike? Not childish and being a pain in the ass, but childlike and open and innocent and willing to try new things. And generally, kids don't have preconceived notions of each other. If you want to play with our crew, come on over and play. Let's have fun. More the merrier. You know, that's that really good Leo juju that we want to reflect on. As it retrogrades in Leo, which is fixed fire, we're reviewing the heart, love, passion, all that good stuff, and creative ideas especially, anything that you care about or want to see flourish and succeed. So think about that retrograde as it happens, July, August, September. We're going to get back in touch with the heart at that time, and we're going to reconnect the ideas that we are working on. Yes, we want them to be profitable and successful and long-lasting and all that good stuff, but we also want them to connect. We want them to have that heart, that soul that can only express through you. So that's important. What do you want to see expressed? What do you want to see, or what kind of fun do you want to have, right? And then as Mercury lingers in Virgo, that's a whole different vibe. That's going to be about mental discernment and natural processes. When Mercury's moving through Virgo, we get very natural and organic with it. Virgo ideas are integrative, healthy, sacred, and practical. Virgo thoughts are pure, pragmatic, present, efficient, and disciplined. Virgo concepts are comprehensive, intricate, functional, and organized. Here, I use Chiron as the ruler of Virgo. I do realize that mainstream astrology makes Mercury ruler of Virgo. I look at it this way. Virgo, to me, is the healer archetype. This is where we want our wholeness, to be that virgin whole unto yourself. With Mercury, I would say we want that mental wholeness and integration, that groundedness, practical consciousness that we want to work with. So, yes, Mercury rules processes, and so could very easily rule Virgo, which rules systems. Okay, so systems and processes are two different things. But Virgo does help with all the different processes and how the different systems work individually and how they work together to create the whole. So we want to think about that with our ideas as well. We might have several little ideas, but how do they come together to make something bigger than what you started with? And with Chiron as the ruler of Virgo, now we're talking healing, education, and soul work, you know, which is my whole thing. I think we want to look at the mental health, you know, and again, with your creativity, and is it plausible for you to keep going in the direction you've gone, at the speed you've gone, at the, you know, going the way you go? Does it work for your systems? Is it natural for you? We want to integrate a new practice when Mercury lingers in Virgo. We want to use the filtering process to ask, you know, does this really work for me? Does this make sense? Am I gaining a new skill, any rhythm or self-mastery? What am I gaining here? You know, really checking in come late summer, early fall. Anytime we hit Virgo, we always want to start to think about our rhythms and how we move through our day-to-day and is it really working? So your personal processes, when you follow your intuition and how much you trust yourself, so that self-trust is developed in the Virgo department as well. Knowing that Virgo Pisces are related, right? So Pisces is your intuition and Virgo is that practical application of what you intuited needed to be done. We want them connected and working together, working that practical application that is going to be its way. Now, the activations that are happening during that time, while Mercury is moving through Leo and lingering, it's going to square off with Uranus and Taurus at 26 and 27 degrees for my numbers people. Y'all got me writing down degrees now. We're going to get three chances. Mercury is going to hit Uranus three times over, July, August, and September of this year, July 21st, August 18th, and September 6th. So those are our prayer days when we might want to work consciously with our lower mind and higher mind, with how we're changing our mind, changing our thinking, because it is a square to grow out of comfort zone and into new territory here. So what I'm seeing is it's the break to realign between your true authentic nature, what that is, and your personal security needs and creature comforts and protections on the ground, food, sex, and money, like the basic Taurus things that Uranus is already shaking up and waking up and changing around as we go. But ultimately, it is, again, kind of you, the individual, within the collective mind here. When we look at the social collective planets, it's always what the social collective has agreed to. And in Taurus, we're agreeing to certain values. And those values are getting all shot to hell to start all over from scratch in what could be a good way, but it's never easy to start new values in a whole social system, in a whole collective unit like this. So we just have to remember the cycles that went before. If we can look at the Depression era, the 20s and 30s and 40s, we're kind of back to that zone where there's these big discrepancies between the rich and poor and the values between the people on the ground and the one percenters running things. So we're back, y'all. And so you get a vote. You want to use this energy kind of micro to macro in that you're looking at yourself and your thinking and how that affects the collective, yes. But you're also going to reverse that in Uranus to help break you out of any ruts or stagnation or stuckness, because that's what Uranus is good for, the individual. Yes, it's waking up social collective and a big waves of people are awakening now to different things, but we're going to dial that in and look at, okay, what is it zapping in my Taurus house? Okay, my Taurus house is the sixth house of health and daily routine. So I keep trying these different routines until I find one that sticks. But Uranus is in a 7-year process, so I have not been attached yet, because I kind of know that I'm going from the hardcore parenting to empty nest, I'm going from my 50s and toward my 60s. These decades are different too, right? So just knowing where you are and how things are going for you is really important. And know that that challenge to grow means something's got to change, either on the Leo side, changing how you express or your self-love, self-worth, self-value aspects of things. And really, we've talked about this, all the fixed signs have some form of self-love and self-value that comes up. So with Leo, it's that self-love where you can be your authentic self and know that that's enough and not really have to hide your light under a bushel or anything like that or dim your light for other people. Nobody likes to do that. So that self-love comes from just being yourself and knowing that's good enough. The Aquarius side of that is the unique contribution and really believing you have a unique voice and something to share that can help humanity or help the community or help larger numbers than just yourself, because that's what happens in Aquarius. We start thinking about the future. Well, we're moving into this 2,500-year Aquarian age that kicks off with a 200-year cycle of air signs and the social level. So again, we're agreeing to terms that intellectual property, consciousness, ideas, technology is part of that too, that air element. So there's so many things that are kicking off that are shifting from a kind of heavy, dense, earthy energy to a lighter air energy. And it's a mixed blessing. Some of it's going to be better. Some of it's going to be actually worse because we are still physical, earthy beings. And we need to stay connected to Mama to function properly. If we get too far away from her, our systems don't work as well. So that's another reason to use 3 to 4 times a year to do a systems check with a Mercury retrograde is a good timing to ask yourself to pause and just check in with your systems. How are they working? Are they working the way you really want them to? So just know that you want to make those changes between the Leo Aquarius parts, and then the Taurus Scorpio self-love is a little more literal. Like we said, Taurus is your creature comforts and personal security. Where are you comfortable? Where do you feel safe? And you feel like that's even possible for long term. And Scorpio's that connection to power. And think how many people feel utterly powerless. And there is no self-worth in there. We are cultivating that power because we know that Scorpio is actually the conception zone, and it's where we conceive what we want to bring from invisible Scorpio realm into Taurus visible realm, right? So some of you may have heard me say Taurus is Mother Earth and the garden, and it's food and beauty and flowers and all these good things that are literal and tangible and measurable. And Scorpio is the breath of God that breathes life into those things. So we need both, and we activate both when we're working with either one. So as Uranus wakes up this Taurus zone of our physical needs, our creature comforts here on the ground and what's necessary and these new values, especially post-COVID, how much interaction with people and how much touching and sensuality and caressing do you need to feel like a normal human being and not be angry or sad or frustrated in any way? And where's your balance there? And what has to change in order for you to shine your light or to take your place in a leadership position somewhere along the way? What are you creating? Where's all the creativity? Because this is also the frustrated artist where you have all these ideas, but they're not really coming together. So we're going to want to definitely use that retrograde time, July, August, September, to revamp all our ideas and infuse them with new life force. At that point, we'll be culminating 2024 and starting to wind it down and starting to prepare for what we want to birth in 2025. So we'll know what needs to change at that point, whether it's our own thinking or something in our creative processes. We can definitely look forward to that. The other one is these funky connections that Mercury's been making with Mars. It did it this go-round, and the one we're in where it conjuncted, initiated a whole new cycle, October and then December, January, with Mars going through Scorpio, Sag, and Capricorn. Crazy. We get 3 chances to initiate this whole new consciousness, which is happening right now as we speak. When we get further down the road, it's going to be a sextile to Mars, which is an opportunity to gain traction. So whatever we start here at the beginning of 2024, by the time we get 9 months into the year, we're going to be really knowing, again, what we're working with, what our resources look like, where our stability and strength and viability is for our creative ideas. I love it. Basically, Mercury is going to move through Cancer before it lingers in Leo Virgo. And so it's going to hit Mars on summer solstice of this year, Cancer to Taurus. So we're talking, again, that self-care, how well you take care of your personal needs and your creature comforts. And then it's going to retrograde. And as it's moving through Leo, it's going to tag Mars again while Mars is moving through Gemini. So So now we're in the review process, asking what we want to express. Essentially, Leo and Gemini are both about expressing. But we're talking about your thinking and your choices and the review that's going to happen there. But it's an opportunity to grow, to learn about what you want to express or how you want to express it in new ways. And when it goes direct in Virgo, it's going to link up with Mars being in Cancer on the back end. So there's this juicy symmetry with earth and water energy that's bookending the retrograde itself. So I just want you thinking about the creative ideas, again, with their form, structure, and boundaries and containers. And what are you doing? Are you writing a book? Are you building a website? What are your containers looking like for the year of 2024? And how can they be stabilized and fortified and beautified? Okay, that's the thing that the fire is going to bring, is going to bring in that imagination and those options and ideas, and that unique essence that is you that comes through in your creativity. So we'll be able to use that alignment, like I said, to gain traction in what we're going to build on and expand come 2025. So I am tempted to do things slightly differently. I would like to stay in the zone of the Leo Virgo and do the guidance that I got, y'all. And then I'm going to cover the Sag final retrograde, the two activations, and we'll do the divinations that go with that. Because basically the activations are what took me down the rabbit hole to ask the right questions for divinations, which will also be attached. There's a PDF. Everything's already done. So I pulled 5 cards for 5 different questions. So this Mercury and Leo squaring off with Uranus and Taurus, I'm calling recalibrate your filters and change your thinking or perspective. And we got the Tower card. So we all know what that means. Change is in the air. And then Mercury in Cancer, Leo Virgo, tapping into Mars, moving through Taurus, Gemini, Cancer. I'm calling this energy and ideas and thinking and choices. And our guidance for that was the 7 of Pentacles, which would be the 7 of Earth in any other deck. Now, the Tower and 7 of Pentacles. So the guidance for that change that has to happen. And I want to say that I'm using the Mythic Tarot, which I really love, by Juliet Sharman Burke and Liz Green. And some of you that have gotten your Astro Tarot reading know that I use this deck for that. And I like this deck because it combines the languages of mythology and psychology. So the archetypes are always very familiar, even if we don't remember the details or, like me, can't pronounce the Greek names of the mythology. So deep breath. This is our guidance for navigating July, August, September as we change some very fundamental internal things. So open to receive that which is just for you. On an inner level, the God-struck tower is an image of the collapse of old forms. The tower is the only man-made structure in the major arcana and is thus a representation of structures, inner and outer, which we ourselves build as defenses against life, as well as concealment to hide our less agreeable sides from others. In many ways, the tower is an image of the socially acceptable facade we adapt to hide the beast within. Then we use our professions, our good credentials, our affiliations with respectable institutions and companies, our carefully mannered social roles, our politest smiles and most diplomatic exchanges, our magazine-inspired appearances and family-instilled morals to hide that shameful secret which in the card of the devil awaits the fool in the underworld. The tower is a structure of false or outgrown values, those attitudes toward life which do not spring from the whole self, but are put on like costumes in a play to impress the audience. Likewise, the tower also represents the structures we build in the outside world to embody our incomplete selves. Thus, when the fool confronts the great god Pan at the heart of the labyrinth within, he is changed by the encounter. He is more humble, more complete, and more real. Inevitably, this change will result in changes occurring in outer life. Just as our attitudes are altered by any encounter with what lies in the unconscious, so too are our chosen lifestyles. One of the reasons why many people fear this inward-looking process is that they are dimly aware that having discovered one's real nature, one can no longer pretend in the eyes of the world. An honest encounter with the devil invokes a profound inner integrity, and thus the tower, the edifice which represents the values of the past, must fall. The fool perceives the ways in which he has betrayed his essential self, and his shock is like the trident of Poseidon striking the labyrinth. It cracks open the defenses and releases those parts of ourselves which have been enslaved. Deep breath. On a divine level, the Tower card suggests the breaking down of existing forms. This card, like the cards of Death and the Devil, depend a great deal upon the attitude of the individual in terms of how difficult or painful it is to deal with. Obviously, it is more creative to ask oneself where one is constricted or bound by a false persona or image, because a willing effort to break through this pretense can spare a great deal of anguish down the road. But it seems that the Tower will fall anyway, whether we are willing or unwilling. Not because some malicious external fate decrees it, but because something within the individual has reached the boiling point and can no longer live within such confines. Okay, deep breath. So I'm feeling like Leo Virgo always, to me, is about, again, expressing your authentic self. But Virgo's about doing what works for you, what's natural for you, what really works. So, again, these are very personal things. Like, a lot of times if I'm teaching, Aries to Virgo is all about you, the individual. But Libra to Pisces is all about your interactions with other people. So there's this rhythm to it that we get into. And Leo is usually when we wake up to what we really want to express. In this case, Uranus and Taurus is saying, okay, but what's practical and what's sustainable? And does that really make sense? And is it going to get you what you want? Because remember, Taurus is also the zone where our hungry ghost lives. Where we're hungry, we go after it, we get it, and then it doesn't satisfy and we can't figure out why. Okay, so let's be mindful. Usually that why is deep, deep down in those values. So you've got to check in and see if your priorities are a little off, right? Now for the Mercury to Mars, our thinking and action alignment, that opportunity to gain traction, where it's going to be a little different every time. It's not really all lingering in one place. This was interesting because, again, we are rethinking some actions and choices. We're rewiring our desire nature in a way that makes more sense. Again, something that is more practical and doable would be nice. But at the same time, we want to get creative and infuse more of our authenticity into whatever we're trying to express. So when I asked for guidance on this one, I pulled the Seven of Pentacles, which would be the Seven of Earth in any other deck. So the Seven of Pentacles portrays the situation of a difficult decision. Here we see the craftsman in a position of material security and royal favor, represented by the six golden pentacles beside him. He has worked long and hard to achieve his place at court and can be justifiably proud of the new edifice he has built. Now a new factor has entered the story. A proposition which might turn out to be even better in its rewards than the old, or it might turn out to precipitate even worse ruin. To side with the queen means to betray his patron, yet it also means following the will of the god Poseidon, who, being a god, might in the end turn out to be a far more sensible choice of ally. Translated into more ordinary terms, the craftsman's choice in the Seven of Pentacles reflects a situation where we are called upon to decide between the security of what we have already built and the shaky, uncertain possibilities of a new direction, which may or may not lead to future success. One pole represents the safe choice, although there is implied in such safety the danger of stagnation and even misfortune if something divinely inspired is rejected in favor of what is secure but lacking in vitality. The other pole represents something possibly risky, even dangerous, perhaps quote-unquote immoral, in the sense that it flies in the face of popular opinion. Yet this dangerous new possibility contains a life force and potential for growth which might far outweigh the rewards of the secure path. Thus, the Seven embodies a situation which sooner or later comes to every individual who attempts to manifest creative energy in the world. The hoped-for success may be achieved, but along with it, the youthful spirit of the gamble is often lost, and there may be a limit to what one can accomplish through one channel alone. The problem is whether or not to take up the new opportunity and risk losing all that one has already built. On a divine level, the Seven of Pentacles represents a time when a difficult work decision must be made. Care and forethought are needed, and the question arises of whether to continue to develop what one has already built or to put energy into a new project. So this is deep to me because I do feel like if Mercury changes our mind about you know, who we are and how we're expressing on some level, you know, again, changing fundamental aspects of self so that we can go forward. Now, this opportunity presents itself. And personally, I don't agree with the language of a risk losing all that one has already. I don't believe in that. I think what you've already built is going into the foundation and you're going to be fine. But the trick is Mars, who you are and what you want. What do you want and why do you want it? Your motivation. What's your motivation behind the choices that you make? And Mercury, your mind, how are you making those choices? Like, what's the influence that's helping you make them? Now, let's take a little pause before we go to the final one in Sag and the guidance to go with it. So now the last one is Sag. I'm feeling like y'all want to keep rolling because it's pretty juicy. We have three cards to read for this one because this one got deep. So now, November 2nd to January 28th of 2025. Okay, so see how that's going to cross over into the new year at the end of 24. Mercury moving through Sag and staying for 3 months is going to square off with Saturn in Pisces. So that's the big one. What I find interesting is that the July to September one was Uranus, a square to Uranus, and now we have a square to Saturn. So it was almost like Spirit wanted to wake us up, shake us up, and crack us open to the possibilities, to new options, new choices, so that when we get to this Saturn realm, we can actually move things around to be able to ground something or to manifest something or to bring those creative babies from idea into form, whatever it may be that you're working on. Right. So I'm feeling really strongly. But the challenge there is Sag to Pisces is that we're knee deep in faith and beliefs and stories and concepts and perceptions. And that can get a little tricky. And so my numbers people, they're going to get together at 12, 13 and 14 degrees. The first hit is at 12, second hit's at 13, third hit is at 14. And the prayer days, this is where we're going to be working on our faith and beliefs and, you know, the story that we're writing consciously or unconsciously, how we want that to unfold, will be November 12th and December 6th of 2024 and December 27th. So all 2024 dates, even though it's going to carry us into the new year. So 11-12, 12-6, and 12-27. Are the dates Mercury in the sky will square off with Saturn in the sky. And so it'll affect our Sag and Pisces departments. So here we're waking up consciousness by the end of the year, and I do try to synthesize these things, y'all. I like you to hear about the pieces individually, but then we need to look at the big picture. So we're kicking off in Sag Capricorn now, where we've been asked to expand the vision of what we want to be called to leadership on, what we want to be responsible for, what we want to manifest. Really, truly, that's what Capricorn is all about. How can it serve more than just you? And so we're rethinking all that. And as we do that, and we move through to the spring one, and we go through Aries, and we rethink our identity and purpose as individuals, okay? So right now, we might be visioning the big purpose and how we can affect others and help others along the way in our service to the world. But when it comes Aries, it's going to be very personal, who you are and what you want individually, and what are your immediate needs and things like that. We get to July, August, September. Now we're again looking at what you truly want to express and what's healthy and natural for you, because we want that to be so. If we have worked it where we have actually gotten creative, expanded our vision, been inspired, activated our imagination, used the fire energies that come about throughout the year to really infuse all our creativity or all our ideas and dreams and goals and aspirations with some new juju, by the end of this year, when it lingers in Sag, we really will be writing the new story. So it's annual cycle, like it's micro and macro here. Again, it's this one-year thing that Mercury does every year, but then about every 5 years, it goes through these same zones over and over again. That's with Mercury. But then it's triggering these bigger cycles that are 12, 28, 84, bigger cycles. So we know that we are ending a big 30-year cycle and a big 12-year cycle. We're getting ready to start some new big 30 and 50-year cycles. They're bigger. They're bigger than annual. But if we use the little annual stops and we use the energies as they pass through our charts and try to consciously co-create, then we'll be better off. So in this case, we're just going to, again, be changing our thinking around our reality. Saturn in Pisces is asking us to create a more spiritual practice that supports the reality you want to live, it's asking us to use our imagination and get our creative critical thinker going around how we can have our basic needs met in this crazy upside down world. You know, it's asking us to really reach and get creative. And at the same time, Pisces is where a lot of our fears and phobias are housed. And so it's triggering maybe unconscious or subconscious fears to pop up as well, because Saturn's already fear and doubt planet. Now it's in a sign that's got fears and phobias. So we're doubling down on a little bit of the crazy. And we can see that in the social collective realm. And we can see that in the disconnect between people's real reality and their virtual reality and why those aren't syncing up. And so that's crazy making, y'all. That's a recipe for crazy right there. So we know that's out there. But if we tap into our invisible team, if we tap into our faith of what has worked for us historically, and what still works to this day, kind of eternal truths, right? We know other truths are fluid and change along the way. But there's some eternal truths that we can rest on. And this would encourage us to be very positive as well. But it's still about looking at the reality and going, what do I think about this reality? How do I feel about this reality? And how would I change it now that I've got a little slow period to rethink things in the moment? You know, how is that going to go? So our guidance for working with Saturn in that challenge to grow kind of out of comfort zone into new territory, we got the Judgment card, which is another major arcana. But I love this one with the mythology. This one's Hermes, the psychopomp. On an inner level, Hermes, the psychopomp, is an image of a process which occurs at certain critical moments in life. It is a summing up when the experiences of the past are gathered together and seen as part of an intelligent pattern, and the consequences of these experiences must be understood and accepted. This process of summing up is not an intellectual function, but rather a kind of slow cooking that occurs in the underworld of the unconscious. It is a call for the dead to rise, for the many and varied actions and decisions we perform to knit together and yield a harvest. The artist experiences this process when, after many hours or weeks or even years of attempting to formulate, research, practice technique, and give shape to an elusive idea or image, something at last happens and a new creative work is born. This same process can be seen in psychotherapy, where an individual can struggle for many months with the disconnected memories and feelings of the past and present, stuck and blocked, and suddenly a kind of cohesion occurs, and one's life pattern makes sense at last. This process can occur in any realm of life where we tunnel blind as moles, pouring effort into something which somehow remains elusive. And at last, the effort is rewarded, and there is a synthesis and a new development at hand. This is Hermes at his most magical, revealed at last as the true lord of the entirety of the fool's journey, knitting together through some mysterious process of intuition all the experiences and insights gained from each stage of the journey, then magically blending these to form the beginnings of a new and larger personality. Deep breath. Thus, the figure of Hermes leading the dead souls to judgment embodies a process of birth. It is the birth of a more complete personality, which arises in a non-rational way from the combined experiences of the past, fused by insight and a sense that apparently random events and choices are secretly connected. The judge of the dead decides what future has been earned from past efforts, and it is on the efforts of the past that the fool's future is built. The card of judgment symbolizes the rewards for efforts made, although the judge is usually inside of us, not outside in the world. We pay also for our sins of unconsciousness and reap the harvest of refusing to take up responsibility for our own choices at each stage of the journey. Judgment is an image not just of a new beginning, but a beginning which emerges out of the past. In Eastern philosophy, this is called karma. Each person sows seed in his own field and ultimately must reap the harvest which springs from his own sowing. Although Hermes is often portrayed as a cheat and a liar, here as psychopomp, he does not permit the soul to lie. Everything must be accounted for, and the fool meets at last the consequences of all his choices in life. Deep breath. On a divine level, the Judgment card suggests a time when the rewards of past efforts appear. This is a period of summing up, of a realization of what we have been doing and where we ourselves have created the future which now awaits us. It is an ambiguous card, for it can also imply a disturbing confrontation with all of our own evasions and self-betrayals. The reward is not always a pleasant one. The fool must now answer for his journey, for the time of harvest has arrived, and all the mistakes and all the creative efforts of the past are gathered together to form the future. Whatever occurs to the individual in terms of experiences, the card of judgment heralds the end of a chapter in life. But unlike the card of death, it does not imply mourning. Rather, it is a clear perception of the extent to which we have been able to be true to ourselves. Ashe. Deep breath. So this is what happens when almost any planet interacts with Saturn. We get serious. We start assessing things. And in this case, we're assessing our ideas and creative projects. We're assessing our relationship with our children, because Mercury represents children as well. We're rethinking how we communicate and express ourselves, all of that. And like I said earlier, we're pulling on more than just this annual cycle of 2024. This is tied to bigger cycles that are unfolding as we speak around us. So we want to do that consciously and really assess the viability, the practicality, the profitability of the creative ideas and endeavors that we're investing in. Because Saturn's all about the real bottom line, not the idea. Jupiter's about the ideas, the concept, the expansion. Oh, wow, wouldn't that be great? And all the enthusiasm. But Saturn's about what steps is it going to take to make this really happen and to manifest this in true form. So that is the guidance for that one. Now, what am I looking at here? So the last two things. So the other activation is another opportunity. So we on both of them, there was one challenge and one opportunity. But this one is the opportunity with Venus. Now we're talking about the interaction with the feminine. So first Mercury rewires things with the masculine. Then it's going to rewire things with the feminine. And this is powerful because Mars and Venus are already approaching a new cycle that's going to be kicked off in Aquarius. And that is when Venus is in Aquarius, Mercury is going to be in Sag, and that's when it's going to touch. That's December 13th. So it's going to be a powerful reset around our values and priorities, again, with the viability of our creative babies. And in this case, we're also reworking the story around our communities and relationships, the people that we want to interact with, our kinfolk, our kinship, and how that works, and what are we doing there. So ultimately, it's going to come out. This one, Mercury retrograde in Sag, sextiling Venus in Aquarius, is about beautifying your ideas. Okay, again, with putting your unique stamp, your unique perspective, your unique essence. We want that. As it goes forward and leaves Sagittarius, hits Capricorn, Venus will have moved into Pisces. Now it's going to be what we're manifesting in terms of our true values. So you're going to want to clarify, again, this opportunity to rethink some things, to rethink what is your unique perspective and how is it connected to the social collective? Because I'm always trying to encourage you, too, to connect your smaller story to the larger story, and that will expand your reach and that will expand the possibilities for everyone. So the guidance around beautifying your ideas and clarifying your values, I pulled the Queen of Wands, which is the Queen of Fire in any other deck. The Queen of Wands is an image of the loyalty of the heart and the strength of the creative imagination to sustain the heart's chosen goals. So see how that little theme of heart keeps weaving through as well, where we have to stay true to ourselves. She is, in one sense, a picture of the faithful wife, but her faithfulness is not necessarily a literal one, and some versions of the myth question this technical sexual loyalty. Penelope's loyalty springs from a much deeper level. All through the years of her husband's absence, she has no way of knowing whether he is dead or alive, and at times it would obviously be more convenient to choose another husband and get on with her life. Yet she knows intuitively that Odysseus will return, and it is this quality of faith and a loyalty which springs not from enforced morality, but from a deep inner conviction that in the end, everything will turn out right. This figure is industrious, creative, versatile, strong-willed, and talented, but she is also self-contained and stable, for her fire is banked and becomes the warmth of the hearth fire, a center to which many are attracted. like the 112 suitors who are drawn not only to the kingdom, but to the woman. The Queen of Wands does not go chasing after rainbows or trying to fly to Olympus, pastimes more typical of the knight. She holds her great strength and energy within and devotes them to those few things to which she has given her heart. In some ways, the Queen of Wands is an ancient image of that superwoman figure toward which so many modern women aspire. That is, the woman who is capable of loyalty and love in relationships, yet who also has the strength, ingenuity, creativity, and tireless energy to rule her own world in her own right and to need no strong shoulder to lean on or socially acceptable label of wife to make her a worthwhile and self-confident individual. Deep breath. When the Queen of Wands appears, it is time for the individual to begin to develop these qualities of warmth, constancy, loyalty, and a creative sustaining of a vision. The Queen of Wands may enter one's life as such an imaginative and magnetic woman, full of warmth and life, but if such a person enters one's sphere, it is not by chance, but rather a promise that the individual is about to meet those attributes within. I say. So, our inner fire goddess is getting activated at the end of the year. What kind of story do you want to tell with that? And how does that, let's say, the change, because Mercury's retrograding in Sag, so the change in your beliefs, the change in the story you want to tell, the change, the turnaround that happens by the end of the year because of everything that you learn on the way, right, that's going to shape your consciousness, is going to be a big deal when it starts linking up with Venus in this opportunity to grow and to shift and to gain a little traction in your values. So, again, it goes back to simplifying, really narrowing things down, like it said, to do those things, only the things that your heart jumps with, that you feel passionate about, that wake you up and inspire you, like bring that fire from the inside, right? If you're fired up from the inside, it's going to naturally radiate and glow light, right? People always tell me when I get to talking about the energies or the cycles that I get all excited and I start glowing, because that light from inside is activating me. It's waking things up. That's what we're going for. And what was so deep is that all of it is leading to something in the spring of 2025. I just want you to be ready, because the next thing Mercury does after it's done with all this, right, after it retrogrades through Sag and goes forward, Mercury's going to link up with Venus in an initiation of a new cycle of identity, creativity, and self-expression in Aries, all about you. So if we can do these growth and shifts and changes and fixes and turnarounds and reversals, you know, good reversals, divine delays, and we want to be able to step into that new initiation, which I don't see the date here, but I'm pretty sure it was close to 321-ish. It was like spring equinox of 25 when they initiate that new cycle. So this is what I went into the meditation on, pulled a card. New cycle of identity, creativity, and self-expression that's based in your new values that are anchored in, those values are anchored in independence, freedom, and sovereignty. Okay? And I pulled the strength card, which is another major arcana. Strength card is really powerful because in this deck, it does come down to, again, your true identity and what you really want to express going forward, which is what Mercury's all for. So this is what we would turn inward and review and revise and come back out to express in a new way by that last one of the year. So our guidance for that one is on an inner level. Hercules battling the lion is an image of the problem of containing the powerful and savage beast within us while still preserving those animal qualities which are creative and vital. The lion is a special kind of beast and reflects a different aspect of the human psyche than do the willful horses in the chariot card. The lion of myth has always been associated with royalty, even when it is at its most destructive. The lion is an image of the infantile, savage, and totally egocentric beginnings of a unique individuality. Thus, the lion is not wholly evil, but possesses a magical skin which can offer invincibility. This invincibility is connected with the sense of inner permanence, which comes from a solid sense of I am presence within you. When we wear the skin of the lion, which we have conquered, the opinions of others, the great they who strike such fear into the hearts of the timid, mean very little, for we are armored in our own indestructible sense of identity. However promising its potential, though, the lion is savage and vicious in its animal form. This side of a person unleashed is the me-first drive, which will happily destroy anyone or anything in its path, so long as one's own gratification is assured. Rage is one of the manifestations of this drive, too. Not healthy anger, which might be appropriate to a situation, but a furious, explosive, floor-beating tantrum when we do not get our way. Implacable pride is another of its faces. Not self-respect, but a bombast and inflated self-importance which can make us savage and unrelenting toward those upon whom we are dependent or who steal the limelight from us. The lion is, in many ways, like the angry infant, demanding that the world revolve around oneself and destroying blindly and randomly when it does not. But if this beast is conquered, then we can appropriate that magical skin, which in psychological terms means integrating the vital power of the beast and making it serve a conscious and responsible ego. Thus, Hercules' conquest of the lion is not truly a killing, but a kind of transformation, so that the strength and determination of the animal are expressed by a human and not a beast. Herein lies the ambivalence of the strength card, for Hercules could easily simply destroy the beast without any benefit accruing from the slaughter. This is the negative face of Hercules within us, the kind of strength which represses all instinct without any transformation, leaving behind a strong shell within which lives a soul without passion, without anger, and without a true identity. On a divine level, the strength card implies a situation where a collision with the lion within is inevitable, and where a creative handling of one's own rage and senseless pride is desirable. Courage, strength, and self-discipline are necessary to battle with the situation. Through such an experience, we can come in contact with the beast, but also with that part of us, which is Hercules, the hero who can subdue it. Thus, the fool, having developed the faculties of mind and feeling, now learns to deal with his own ferocious egotism, emerging from this contest with a deeper trust in himself and more integrity toward others. Deep breath. That's what we want with a Mercury-Venus new cycle of creativity and expression and communication with our loved ones and that whole thing that's going to be set in motion by spring of 25. We're building up to so that we can be that integrity, so that we can live our truth and be our authentic selves in all our exchanges, okay, so that there's no confusion. I really like it. So, again, everything's response to the last thing, preparation for the next thing. And I guess I'm grateful that these weren't quite as intense as these first two. So the one we're in now and the March, April, May one with Aries are pretty intense. But by the time we move through those things and we get to the end of the year, we will be ready to tell a new story for sure. So now, do we want a 6-minute drum journey? Do we want to talk some more? What are we doing?
Kelly, can I say something really quick?
Please.
You know, you end it with the strength card, which I so love. I know that me and probably a few other people have decided, you know, this year is their year of the strength card. So when you end it with it, I was like, oh my goodness, because I was already asking myself, how am I going to live out this strength card year, especially as a Leo, especially as the things that are going on mid-year personally for me, how am I going to do it? So to me, at the end, that actually gave me some hope. That at the end, it was like, oh, you will look at yourself and you will see that you are the woman standing with the lion. You're not just standing, you and the lion are walking together, hanging out. I love that. And then that goddess energy at the end with the Queen of Wands. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do all of that by the end of this year. So this gave me some hope. It's not just, you know, what am I saying to others? It's what am I saying to myself in 2024. So I'm trying to walk through all the Leo energy.
Yay! I love it. I love it. I can feel it too. Yes, for my Leo babies. You all are going to definitely shine your light in new ways as things move around. That's what Mercury does, rearranges our thinking and our processes so that we can integrate new information. I love it. Does anyone else want to testify?
I want to testify that your girl Kimberly, they're doing. You didn't telepathically send me a message so I wouldn't miss this call, number one. And then I'm on the call talking about how Spirit then stripped me down so I have to go into ministry. And then your girl then came up in the chat and confirmed what Spirit said. Kimberly, please testify with me today about what Spirit will do, Ashe, yo mommy.
Ashe, what she saying? Because I don't think you can see the chat, Kelly. So
no.
A few months ago, in fact, I didn't think anything of this. I thought maybe there's just too many spiritual things going on. I don't even remember when it happened. But I remember I shared it with my husband. So a few months ago, I had a dream. And like I said, I didn't think anything of this. So in this dream, I was in, it seemed like an apartment complex. I would call it a cinder block palace. And there was like a street that you cross over. But anyway, right next to this cinder block palace apartment complex, I can see the inside, was a church. And so then we go to the church and it showed we did this week after week after week. Well, the pastor was NASA. So I was like, so when she said that, I was like, wait a minute, because she was telling us about our lives in that church in my dream. And I think I woke up like, I don't know what's going on with me. Maybe I need, you know, something. But with NASA, like I said, NASA was, she was, I can still see her in that dream because I was like, she was yelling. she was pastoring, okay, in that dream.
She gets loud when she is excited. We love her. I love it. This is a loud family. Yes. We all loud. Okay, I love it.
So you are prophesying up in here, Miss Kelly, and just, I'm just so grateful for this tribe. This is such a, you know, I look at the people that are on this call and I know that we're all called to make change within this matrix. So I'm just off of the journey that Spirit just had to chop me down to my knees for me to accept my assignment and for me to be in this space to even get yet another confirmation to fortify me. This is how the matrix works. This is how it works for spiritual people. And I am so grateful in this moment. I don't even know what to do.
No, thank you, baby. I'm so grateful for you. And yes, we are going to change some thinking and we're going to be inspired this year with some creative thinking, some creative solutions and some critical thinking. We get to get kind of, like we said, back to our heart, that electromagnetic organ, right? And get back to some basics in a lot of ways that are going to be more fulfilling, ultimately, if we take our time to process, if we don't buzz through life and not integrate things, then it doesn't become embodied wisdom, y'all. So use these times of year. We've got now till February 5th to finish up this first one. And then, like we said, March, April, May, July, August, September, and then November, December, January will be slower periods where you do want to schedule yourself a little lighter and keep a little room for processing things that come up or things that change or get stopped in their tracks or get reversed in whatever way they're going to. It happens. So rather than grumbling and being frustrated or pushing the river trying to make certain things happen, lay back and look for the miracles during Mercury retrograde. You know, look for the magic because that's what happens. The messages you wouldn't normally perceive come through. And it shifts everything. It changes the game. And then recognize the order of things, right? In this first one, we're moving a lot around in what we believe to be true or possible for our own realities. And in the Aries one, we're going to be initiating big, big, big new cycles individually, socially, and collectively. So it's just huge. Whereas then the Leo Virgo one, we shift. We have to break free of something old. And we have to change our choices and actions, that masculine side, how we negotiate on our own behalf, get our ideas in the world, and hold good boundaries has to change. Do that, got to think about that in a whole new way. And if we can do that first, then by the end of the year, the reality of Saturn and Venus getting together, we can make something beautiful out of that, that can be long-lasting and that can be stabilizing for our kinfolk and our relationships and our communities and what we are building, because we're going to need that. You know, for those of us that don't get into virtual reality, you know, I want real direct connect, you know, on the ground. I'm thinking about retreats and different ways we can meet twice a year or something where we can have that community connection more than just on the phone or on Zoom. I'm really grateful. I didn't hear from anyone about a drum journey, and we're pushing 90 minutes here, so I'm going to trust. Are we okay?
Let's go for the drum journey.
Still got 6 minutes, Dougie Fresh? All right, let's do that. So, Mercury retrograde, our little monkey mind. Yes, we love to check in a couple times a year. and reset that thing. So maybe this drum journey can go into our sacred space, go to your happy place in nature, someplace easy to get to and from, opening to receive a message just for you, inviting your primary guides to walk with you, and invite those who have a message for you to come on and join the party. But we're looking at our mental body and its health and well-being, the balance of input-output, the expansion or transformation of our creative ideas and the self-expression, the way we express ourselves, is evolving with our consciousness. Who can assist? What do you need? Is there medicine? Is there a healing that has to happen first, a purification, before you can share yourself authentically and be a voice for something larger? What is it going to take? What kind of wholeness needs to happen first? What kind of integration? Let's go in for 6 to 7 minutes. See what they bring us.
Thank you.
Call back where you complete your communication, give your gratitude, tell them you'll be back if you need to, complete a deeper conversation later, make your offerings, lavender, tobacco, cornmeal, a lock of hair, shell, a lock, and make your way back to ordinary reality. Take a few notes, anything you want to remember. All right, y'all, on that note, I want to say thank you for the community. Thank you for everyone that helped me hold it down live and those getting the recording. We'll have goodies and personal activations out over the next couple days, giving a day or two to put stuff together. And next month will be about the supermoons. So join us then if you want to look into that deeper, stronger alignment of the poles on our personal waters. We can talk about what that's going to be for 2024. So each month we cover something new. Join us when and where you can. And thank you, everyone. Reach out directly with any aha moments. And much love and gratitude. This is Kelly signing off.